So, of course, to read, you know, just to begin with the Mishnah also on Pei Vav, Amud Aleph, this is going to, you know, be rooted partly in, again, in Hamagarish. We still have some other things to do before, as we know, we're hopefully going to start that today. But the Mishnah of Shlosha Gittin Psulim on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, and to be already familiar with at least the Shakla Bataria, which will, again, it'll take a while to get through all this, but the Shakla Bataria here on the Gimel Amud Beis through Dalet Amud Aleph, just a little bit about that, about, you know, what the Kasav means, but especially to focus on the coexistence of two seemingly contradictory dinim, one, the institution of Shtar, right, and the other, you know, the threat to Shtar being the principle of Mipihem V'lo Mipi Ksav. Okay, so that's what we want to think about. So that's the Gemara in Gittin, Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. I'm just going to give you the beginnings of the Mar Makomos, just to have something to do. Gittin Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, Omrav Kahana until Lo Ledidei. Rashi in Devarim, you know, in Parshat Shoftim, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav, that's the very famous Rashi about Adam Kosei Vigeres Lebezin. Very rare that Rashi, you know, in his Perush Al HaTorah, you know, weighs in that particular way. But obviously, this was like a, again, a matter of great discussion and controversy. Otherwise, it's just striking that all of a sudden Rashi, you know, is making like a halachic statement in his Perush Al HaTorah, just to be aware. And, you know, we know from the, you know, big controversy around this, including Shitas Rabbeinu Tam and others, Rambam. So, yeah. Anyways, the Tosas Rid Al Atar in Gittin Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Also the Tosas Rid in Bava Basra, Kuf Samech Ches Amud Aleph. And in Yevamos, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We'll get to that in a second. And the Ritvan Makos, Vav Amud Beis, Divrei Maschal Shalom. Then the Gemara in Yevamos, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Elam Arava Kol Sheyesh B'Kiddushin Yesh B'Geirushin. And Tosas there, Dibur Maschal D'Chazu. Tosas and Bava Basra, Lamed Tes Amud Beis. It seems like a lot. It is a lot, actually. But but it's an important topic that that really, you know, kind of breaks open the whole question of what a shtar is. Dibur Maschal Mecha'a. And this is all in Yevamos. Back to Yevamos, that Tosas and Bava Basra. And then on Tesam and Aleph in the Dapi HaRif, the Rif, the Balamor, the Hasagos HaRavid, the Ramban, you know, in Vachamos, and the Nebuke Yosef. I'll give you more for that. The Hagos Mordechai, Simin Kufchav Hey, and the Mordechai Laman Aleph from the base. I'll probably give you more to look at. There. But the third Gemara that's critical is the Gemara in Ksuvis, Chaf Amud Aleph to Chaf Amud Beis. Ton Rabbanan Kosev, you know, Adam, that's how the Gemara begins, until the Itkari, and the Rif there on Zayin Amud Beis, Bedape Arif, the Big Tosis, Dibur Maschal V'Rab Yochanan. If you get a chance, looking at the Tosis Shants version of that is also very helpful. And then, of course, the Rambam, Hilchos Eidos Perek Gimel Halacha Dalid, and the Nosei Kelim on that Rambam. That's the controversial Rambam, you know, where the Rambam seems to be saying that, you know, Shtaros are only Drabanan. And the Nosei Kelim, of course, weigh in on that. Rambam, Hilchos Eidos Perek Ches Halacha Beis, and the most important, the Ramban, in Shoresh Beis of Sefer HaMitzvos, starting from Ukvar Yotza Od Mizeh, right, until the end of that piece. And Rab Chaim in the Chibur, an Eidos Gimel Dalid, and the Nesivos, Simen Chavches Vav and Zayin. Also Simen Mem Vav, Chav Vav, if you get a chance. But the most important is Chavches Vav and Zayin. And there'll be more, but yeah, for now, that would be like the things to start with in terms of what, you know, what is the status of a shtar? How does that fit in with Mipiyam Velo Mipi Ksavam? How could there be a get, Daraisa, basically, at all? Okay? So that is things to look at. Before we get to that, we have a lot of other things to do. Again, I forgot all my papers, but, you know, hopefully a little scribbling, you know, can help. So we start off with, first of all, just a ha'ara, right, Aaron? Just because I don't have my papers doesn't mean that we, you know, the brunch, you know, effect, you know, is really in full force. So, you know, all the, you know, Talmidei Chachamim who, you know, who were, you know, feted, F-E-T-E-D, you know, by members of the Shir, you know, they kind of have an extra, you know, zchut b'chora. So if I took a test, I can't say that I could match everybody up completely, but I remember quite a few. But anyways, Aaron's was very memorable because it was predictable, you know, because of his past, in a good way, you know, loyalties. But the reason I'm telling you this is that he, you know, at brunch, apparently, Rav Groybart? Ginsburg, sorry. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Ginsburg weighed in on our sugya in his parish of Mishnah on Gittin Tzadi Omid Aleph, and I believe there were three ha'aros, right? You have the go ahead.
First he says for Beis Hillel something sort of similar to what we were saying.
That Hekdicha Tavshilo, he also formulates it, you know, similarly, like Hayitachein, you know, that we would countenance, the halacha would countenance such a frivolous reason, you know, to exit a marriage, right? The outrage and the moral, discomfort is you know, clear. And the answer, similar to all the other things that we've saw, but in a, like a little, teeny little different formulation or twist. Go ahead.
Says.
Oh, you got it there.
Yeah.
No, but it's Binyamin.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Says.
Wow. So that, again, the idea that otherwise it's nus, which we've seen in other places, but the more, you know, whenever you see it, it's just a very compelling argument. But also to quote the pasuk of V'hayu L'basar Echad. Of course, V'hayu L'basar Echad is itself very fascinating because, you know, Chazal understood V'hayu L'basar Echad as a reference to Piri of Arivia. But the idea that on a pshat level, you know, it refers to the bond and labal ke ishto ishto kebal, and you know, if you put those two things together, that you know, that's why you know, puri of arivia should take place in the context of an ishos, and that's also a way that strengthens, you know, that bond, you know, the creation of a child gimel shutfim ba'adam, you know, all of that, of course, is you know, part of the story of v'hayu L'basar Echad. I think I mentioned, you know, the Rambam says lifros v'lirvos ba, and that's the comment of the Netziv that we referred to, that even the, you know, the din of onas is connected to, you know, to both of these things. Anyway, so that's a terrific comment. And then the second comment was about Rabbi Kiva, right?
The second was, yes, he explains chalitza based
off. I'm sorry, chalitza first, correct. So, go ahead. That's why there's an alternative in Yibum. That, you know, the question he was asking was, like, you know, why, if Yibum is preferred, you know, so why not just say Kofin al Mitzvah Sase, like the Gemara says in Ksuvas? Like, why give an alternative of Chalitza? Right? Which is a good question. I mean, the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza, of course, again, a topic in its own right. Really fascinating. We had a little bit of a, you know, brush with that. We were talking about the bracha issue, right, in Gittin, and, you know, whether or not, you know, you make a bracha on Yibum, or chalitza, you know, what that relationship, there are all sorts of interesting formulations. Go ahead. But what he suggests is, go ahead. Yeah. So that's a great, again, application, very fascinating. And then the third point was that, you know, we were looking for somebody to say explicitly, and maybe other people do as well, I'm not sure, that Rabbi Akiva's Matzah Isha Nahimena, unlike the Rambam's understanding in Pirush Mishnayos, that it's about physical beauty, you know, what about the idea that it means, you know, in a different way, you know, namely Midos Tovos, etc. And that's what he suggests. Go ahead.
He says that explains the Yerushalmi, why it says that Rabbi Akiva gives Hillel.
That's his answer to the Rajba's question. I mean, again, the Rajba said, why does Yerushalmi on the makeup and the, you know, Kocheles, Pokeses, you know, Bishas Nida, why does the Yerushalmi say that Rabbi Akiva is Aliba de Beis Hillel? Why doesn't it say that Rabbi Akiva is Aliba de Day? Right, so we talked about that already, Pnei Yehoshua, etc. So he says something, you know, a little bit different, but similar, namely, that Matzah Isha Nahe Mena, right?
It's not Bimara, it's Maisen Tovah.
Right. So just good to get, you know, confirmation of a serious Talmud Chacham that he was learning the Sugya in a very similar way. Okay, let's get back to where we were. We were talking about Masa Grushaso, and we were, you know, mostly trying to figure out, again, the interface between the two dinim that are derived from the Pasuk, right? In a more explicit way, Masa Grushaso, but then you have to contend with what appears to be exaggerated language, you know, if this is only Masa Grushaso, Tuma, Toeva, you know, you know, Tumas Haaretz, and, you know, contending on the worthiness of Klal Yisrael for Nakala, you know, and at the same time, Sota, but, you know, with a contortion, because clearly we're mostly talking about Matzah Grushaso. So what we were basically asking was, you know, both conceptually and legally and the interface between them, whether or not the Torah is really talking about two completely different things for whatever reason, or whether or not there isn't like an overlap or integration or a connection, and it's not a coincidence that these two things are being, you know, merged together. And obviously I prefer the second than the first, I mean, to be honest. But, I mean, hopefully, you know, not, you know, I don't have any personal, like, you know, stake in it, other than I think it's more aspirational in terms of understanding the psukim and the dinim, and it also rings, I think, much closer to the truth. So while the Ramban, you know, maybe the Shitaso in general, but also, you know, in its own right, maybe having to do with the issue itself, thinks that these are two separate lavin, you know, even in minyan mitzvos. Doesn't mean that there's no relationship between them. It doesn't mean that the Ramban himself wouldn't be curious and think that it was consequential that the Torah chose to, you know, present these two independent mitzvos in the same pasuk and in some sort of an overlapping way. And certainly the mentality of al derech hapshat of the Ramban, you know, feeds into that as well. But nonetheless, at least on a certain level, he's accentuating more than we might have predicted, right, how independent these things are from each other. And as I say, there are two issues. One is, you know, I mean, a mitzvos methodological issue, you know, which is fascinating to connect to all sorts of other you know, parts of the debate between the Rambam and Ramban throughout, say, from Mitzvos and the Shirashim and in the Hashmatos and so on and so forth. But there's also partly this question for both of them always, and that's what makes it complicated, and that is to assess each individual case, what the relationships really are, you know, and to see whether they fit into the criteria, you know, even if they're different. That it could be that they argue and believe that there are different criteria to count, say for a mitzvah, to count and say for a mitzvos, right? And still both agree, each according to their own, you know, line of demarcation, that, you know, that you always have to still assess very, very, you know, legally, precisely, carefully, you know, what the relationship is. I should also add, although I mentioned it before, but since we're finishing and summing up, that the Ramban also thinks that Lo Sakti Es Haaretz is an independent mitzvah, right? And that's important to know as well. And that just like he says in his Perash Al HaTorah, he quotes the Sifrei, that it refers to Beis Din, right? He counts that actually, or he says he's going to count it, or he wants to count it, in Minyan HaMitzvahs as well. And that comes in context, very interesting actually, in context of Shoresh Hey, Binny, why is it? What is Shoresh Hey in Rambam Sefer Mitzvos? Yehuda?
It's the Rambam
Exactly. So what's very that what you don't count like the Tama mitzvah independent from the mitzvah itself. You have the line in the beginning of the Rambam. That's how Rambam begins Shorash Hay in Sefer Mitzvot. Go ahead. The beginning of Shorash Hay. You have it? Oh. So if you keep going, what's really interesting is the first example that he gives, right, is? Wow, so like we hit pay dirt. The example, the first example that comes to mind for the Rambam, right, is this dinah matzi brushaso and lo tatami esar and lo takti esar. Correct? Yes? Okay. So we know where he stands on this issue. However, in the very end of Shorash Hay, it's the first words of the Rambam in Shorash Hay, and it's the last words of the Ramban in his Hasagos to Shorash Hay. You have that? Yehuda, you have that? I think it's the last words, right?
Yes.
Go ahead. He doesn't disagree with the Rambam about the principle, but he certainly disagrees with some of the examples. Correct?
Yeah.
And the last one that he disagrees with is this one. Is it there? If not, I think I have a separate answer also. Isn't it? I thought the symmetry would be so good that that's the way I remembered it. Maybe I'm wrong, though. It's not the last one?
No.
Maybe it's is it the second last one? With Shorash
Hay? Yeah, I think it's the last one. Yeah.
It is the last one. Okay, go ahead. Right, there's other ones that he mixes with it, but right. He's not sure what it counted in the minyan of mitzvos, but he does think it's a mitzvah, and he thinks that it has to do again with Bezdin. Correct? L'hazer Bezdin al-Kach. So again, that's what he quotes from the Sifrei in his Perush al Torah. I just also think I'll just repeat what I said the other day, which is I don't think it's a coincidence. Or put it this way, I think it's conceivably a pattern that the Rambam, holds that lo siya, kadesha lo yia kadesh, that that's a mitzvah which is muteles al bezdin, and I think he's just very open to the idea that bezdin plays, as I say, this outsized role, particularly in standards of ishus, because that's part of kedushas Yisrael. So I think he's just more open, to that in general. It's not as much as, like the Targum Yonason, and the Orzarua and the Rabbi Yehuda, who think that, maybe a get requires a bezdin. That's, I think, even a stronger or more acute expression of it. But that's the Rambam. Okay, good. Either way, the Rambam in Halakha Yadalit, as we've been discussing, seems to take a more integrative approach. And certainly in Minyan HaMitzvos, he counts only as one. The question is, did the Rambam go so far as to deny Malkus completely for this lav of Sota because it's a lav Shebeklalos, or maybe even more than it being a lav Shebeklalos, it's kind of a, just an extension, of the Iser of Matzu Grushaso, like in some way. So here you have conflicting evidence. Kiva, what are the conflicting evidence? Kav Aleph or Kav Beis?
I thought it was Kav Beis.
Maybe it's Kav Beis. Yeah, go ahead.
says that your locum is from Zonah, for the sphere of the Aden, from Abed Achad.
The Ishus Kohen, if he would want to be continue to live with his wife, after what? What happened there? There was Kinui, there was Stira, and Tuma and Tuma Be'ed Achad.
And then he was Ba'aler, so the Rambam says he's Lokim Yishum Zonah.
Correct.
But we know the Rambam in Perakid Aleph, Halacha Yudalit, Halachas Mirishin, says that the Chalal Lav Zed, the Lav Zvul Yuchal, it seems like there's actual Malkos, seems in the Rambam Doraisa,
for Sota.
Somebody who is Master Sotasar,
yeah.
Stays married to their Sota.
Yeah. So that this is a problem in the Rambam. And then there's another Rambam, which is also spoken of, and that's the one that somebody asked me after Shir as well. That's the one in Yisurei Bia, Yud Ches. That's kind of the more ambiguous. Yeah, that one, was it Yud Ches Vav? Yud Ches Zayin? Okay. Yeah, so you like you keep getting them wrong, and you keep getting them right. Okay, Yud Ches Zayin. Read it, go ahead. Right. That sounds very much like Hilchos Geirushin. Go ahead.
But then by the end of the halacha, parlocha, conservation, Sisral, Shenansa, Shimitaris, the Halach, Shemar, the Hebrew, and Spasa, Havel Ishes Kohen, the Isura Omedes, Share, Yizon. So he seems to flip at the end of the halacha and all the mention is
Yizon. Correct. So these are the three Rambams, and it's difficult. It should also be added in terms of the evidence that in, you know, Hilchos Sanhedrin, right, the Rambam omits Malkus. That's what he lists, you know, all the Malkios. And he omits the Malkus in this case. Okay. So basically, again, we don't have so much time, and I want to, you know, move a little more quickly through this. So just let's say the following. One perspective could have been that Isurei Bia Aleph Kaf Aleph, which is the biggest problem, obviously. Aleph Kaf Beis, the biggest problem. If not for that, you know, then it would still be a question why it's omitted from Hilchos Sanhedrin. And Perakid Ches Halacha Vav, you know, would still be, you know, a bit of a strange read. The Seifa would be a little bit of a strange read, but not impossible. Then everybody would have said, you know, there's Malkus for, you know, for this particular halacha. So the biggest problem comes from Aleph Chaf Beis. So one perspective on Aleph Chaf Beis, you know, to kind of neutralize it, would be if you take the position of Lecha Mishnah, which is also basically, in much more elaboration, the position of Reb Chaim. Okay, Reb Chaim is a piece on this Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Beis. He is concerned both with the Rambam's, position, and what he thinks another stira on the Rambam, as well as the Ravid. He thinks, like, you know, elsewhere in Hilchos Yisurei, the Rambam sounds like he holds like the Ravid, and even in the Ravid, there's a whole reference to like Anusa. So Reb Chaim's trying to sort all of that out. The details, you know, the details of the details, I'm not going to go into right now, but Kedarko, it's a very, you know, fascinating piece, a little bit complicated. But, you know, the thrust of what he says is something that the Lecha Mishnah already, in terms of the bigger stira, Reb Chaim isn't so much discussing, you know, Perek Yud Aleph, you know, Halacha. It's actually a little bit tamua, because, you know, he could have. It would have been, you know, further evidence for kind of what he's suggesting, but he kind of ignores that. But the Lecha Mishnah in Hilchos Geirushin already has this, you know, broader suggestion. What's the suggestion, Akiva?
The Mishnah says that when you have Tumas Eid Echad, so that's not...
Exactly. That maybe Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf Beis is a case of Kinui and Stira and Eid Echad Bituma. Now that is Oser Isha Labala, it's not the same as Kinui and Stira alone, right? And therefore the expectation would be then since it's, you know, since she's Asura Labala, that the Eid Echad, and we say Eid Echad Besota, right, is Neman, right? You know, there are, you know, there's like a group, you know, Eid Echad Be'egla Rufa, talked about it a little bit last year, we'll talk more about it. Eid Echad Be'egla Rufa, Eid Echad Besota, Eid Echad, what's the third one? B'misa Saba, right? So in all these three, these are like a group where Eid Echad is works Kishtayim, right? This is not Eid Echad B'Shavua. This is not Eid Echad B'Yisurim. There's a special din of Eid Echad. Again, whether they're certainly Eid Echad B'Sota, Kinu Yustira, B'Tumah is Doraisa. So is Eidachot Begarufa. The status of Eidachot Bemisa Sabal is very, very controversial. That's a major debate among the Rishonim. But even things like, you know, Komokom Shehemina HaTorah Eidachot Harekan Shnayim, which the Gemara says, is said with regard to these three, you know, this small group of Sota, Eglarufa, and Misa Sabah. Meaning the status of Eidachot in these three cases, right, is unique, and that's why, I think that's Ula's comment, right? Ula? Komokom Shemina Torah Eidachot Hare Kan Shtayim. It refers to these three cases. There's a debate among the Rishonim, you know, would you say it also in Eidachot Neman B'Isurim? Right? We'll talk about Eidachot Neman B'Isurim when we get to, you know, when we start going straight in the beginning, which we'll get to hopefully sooner than later, after Yantef. And that's a debate. That's the Ritva in Perikah Isha Rabba in Yevamos, you know, the beginning of 10th Perikah of Yevamos. And the Nebuka Yosef quotes this Ritva. Like, that's a big discussion. Okay. Why am I telling you all this? So typically, when we say that Eidachot Betuma, you know, is Neman, it has a special Nemanus, so you would think that you know, there's no difference fundamentally in terms of, you know, it means we believe it. Once we believe the Eidachot, so that means that she is was Mezana, and she's a Sota. Right? It's not, there's no Eidei Kiyum in Zus, you know. There's one line in the Gemara in Ksuvus that thought maybe there was, but, it, you know, there isn't. So if we knew for a fact that she was unfaithful in her marriage, then she's a Sota Gemura. So how do you know that, though? In the case of, you know, Kinui and Stira, Bli Eidachot Betuma, it's a Safek, right? Is there even an Iser Sota, you know, Misafek, when there's Eidachot, when there's Kinui and Stira without anything else, by the way? Akiva? 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 I haven't done it yet this year. So. Akiva? Huh? Yitzi? Justin? Huh? Are you?
Yeah. Ram.
That's a question. Which, who discusses that?
You're talking about a case of Safek Sota?
Yes, it's Safek Sota. Is there an Iser? Is there an Iser of? Is there an Iser to live with her B'Safek Sota? And a violation of the law or not?
Ram, the same Ram talking about masters with us, there's a people at police should ask about how they can see it. I'll follow some after.
Yeah. So the Ramam says that if you have Kinui and Stira and you have Safek Sota, there's a Makis Mardus, but there's clearly not Malkus, even though in that halacha we're still in the middle, we'll get back to the Ramam in a second, right? There is Malkus if it's Vadai, right? Are you? You have the right?
Beginning.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh. But who disagrees? Again, I didn't give you this to look at because I don't want to get too deeply in the sugya, but if, yeah? Excellent. The Magen Mishnah quotes the Rajba, so even if you're just reading, it's always a good idea to read the notes of Caleb on the Rambam, right? What does the Rajba say? Excellent. That even though it's only a Safek, right, this Xeris HaKasa, this din of Sota applies even in Safek Sota. And you would violate the law and you get Malkus. Now, of course, that's a little mechudash because it's only a Safek Znus. So what do you see from there? That it's, there's a shame, you know, Sota, even when there's only Safek Znus, and the shame Sota is what's Usur B'Malkus, right? But the Ram doesn't go there. Correct? Ah. But the question is, so now let's talk about the next, I'm just trying to put this in framework. So what would be the next question to ask? Baruch. In this hierarchy.
What happens when there's
Sota B'Vada'ut? Okay, well, when there's Sota B'Vada'ut, unqualified, we know it happens. You know, for sure, whether there's going to be Malkus or not, there'll be full press Din Sota. But is there a middle case? Exactly. So what happens? I mean, the Rajba goes so far as to say that there's a, I'm trying to explain the lambda sabbat. The lambda sabbat is, obviously there's a shame sota, even if it's only suffix nus, as long as there was a procedure, a process of kinu yustira, correct? And, you know, why that should be is an interesting, because that too is a kind of a begida. There's a lot of evidence about that. The Mishnah Melech in particular talks about that in Hilchasota, and the Beis Halevi has a tshuva about that. You know, it's very understandable. Okay, but it's Mechudash. Now, the next level is what happens if you have Kinui and Stira, and you don't have Shnayim Eidim, right? You have it Echa Betuma. So the din is, you know, that's considered, we believe it Echa Betuma. So the Pashtus, whatever applies when our Shnei Eidim, would apply with Eid Echad. And by the way, that is probably the reason why the Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah, you know, abstain from the suggestion of the Lechem Mishnah and Reb Chaim. Right? Because they're thinking, if, you know, Manushach, if we believe in Echad Betuma, so then there was a Znus. So the Lechem Mishnah doesn't explain this phenomenon, but Reb Chaim does. Reb Chaim basically says, listen, there's a shame, and this is interesting because it's the same. The Rajba thought if there's a shame sota, right, then there's Malkus. And Reb Chaim is trying to explain there's a shame, you know, Mechayev of Kinu Yustira, and maybe a, you know, a shame sota, you know, but, you know, that, you know, just as for the, he's not saying this, I'm saying this, just as for the Rajba, you know, that could make it more than it is. For Reb Chaim, that makes it, you know, less than factually it is. Right? So even though we're treating it as a vadai, it's not because b'metzius, we necessarily, according to the Rambam, we're certain, you know, that it happened. It's a din that if you undergo the process of kinui and stira, and there's an eid echad betuma, right, that we apply dine sota. But that doesn't mean that it's the equivalent of Yediyah Vadois, which you only get through Shnayim Eidim. Right? Actually, it's a very interesting issue. We should mention Agav just very quickly, going back to, you know, Daf Tzadi Omid Aleph, even though we're finished with that. You know? But are we ever really finished, you know, with anything? So, like some of the Achronim, Pnei Yoshua, others, like they say, like, you know, the Gemara speaks about Davar, Davar Shebe Erva, right? You know, for Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Darshaning the Psukim. So some of them, what about the case of, you know, Eid Echad Betuma? Right? So it's an interesting question. So some Achronim actually say that, no, the Chiddush, or the secondary Chiddush, of Davar Shebe Erev, Davar Shebe, you know, Shnei Eidim, etc., is exactly what the Gemara said. There was a Hava Mina, that if we know Bevadai Al Pi Eidim, like that she was Mizana, maybe she can't marry anybody. Kamash Malan, therefore you need even Shnayim Eidim to teach you that as terrible as that is, you know, there's still a future for her in terms of marriage. Let's say the Maram Shik and others, Pnei Yoshua, they emphasize this, and that's their way of explaining, you know, how, why we're talking about Shnayim Eidim as opposed to Eid Echad Betuma or any kind of other Eid Echad. They also ask the opposite question. What is the implication if there was no Kinu Yustira but there was an Eid Echad, not Shnayim Eidim on the Maisa's Nus? So of course that's not going to be Oser. Right? Because I'm not that's not Eid Echad Betuma. Correct? And, you know, she has a cheskas heter. So, Eid Echad is not motzi min achazaka. I mean, we'll discuss that, actually, in Gittin and Dav Gimel. We'll talk about that more. So they say, like, you know, that's pashut. Like, what's the kiddush of, you know, of Shnayim Eidim? So again, some of the answers are, oh, no, it's right, it's true. Like, we would know you need Shnayim Eidim, but we wouldn't have known that Shnayim Eidim, she can continue to marry someone else. That's a very interesting Hava Mina, right? Not just a line in the Gemara, but a line that the, you know, Mefarshim picked up on and think, you know, has greater resonance you know, like they're troubled by this. Like if she was really Mizana, maybe she should be, you know, psula lagamri for marriage. And very interesting issue. Okay. But getting back to it. So the point is that the, you know, while the other Mefarshim thought, listen, if we believe Eidecha B'Tumah, so there was a Maisa's Nos, there's no difference between that and Shnai Meidim in the context of Kinyus here, Raglaim L'Davar, whatever it is. But what the Lecha Mishnah is suggesting is that the Rambam's halacha, that there's no Malkus, is only in the case of Eidecha B'Tumah. And what Reb Chaim is explaining is, no, just because Eid Tumah, right, is considered to be Sota, there's a shame Sota, because it's Midin, the process of Kinu Yastira Ve'edachat B'tumah. But it's not in the Metzius, it doesn't reach the level, because there aren't Shnayim Eidim, of a Vadai. So Reb Chaim explains, that's why the Rambam requires the status of Znus. Why is there even Znus? So that kind of what he's dancing around, both with the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam himself in Perek Aleph, Halacha Chafdeis, you know, has a very famous line in the end. Do you have it there again, Akiva? The last line in Aleph Chafdeis? The Rambam says something, which would, yeah. Oh. So that line, of course, is connected by everybody to the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Perek, what is it, Tez Zion? Where is it? Tez Zion Dalet or something? Is that right?
I think
Tesvav Dalet?
Tezayin Vav.
Tezvav Dalet? Well, we can look it up. Nice to say for when that comes in. What does the Rambam say? That's a very, very important Rambam. Here. It's Tezayin Vav. Okay, good. I was right about the Tezayin always. Eno Tzarek Shnei Edom Lamalkas El Bishas Maisa Ha'isar Atzmo Beidachad Yuchsak. Okay, it's on Omer Eidechot Chelov. This is in Eidechot Nem Bisurin. Eidechot Kloyo Suzeh, right? Kalaya Karen Hain, Peroselu, Gusho Zona Ishazu, the Achalo Baal, you know, the Eidim, Akash Yisrba, Areze Lokeh, Afopish Ikar Isr Beidechot. Bemedvar Mamurin, Shalohi Krisha Eid, Beish Shakabo Isr. Avalub Omer Eino Chelov, Eino Gusha, right? The Achalo Baal, you know, this is a hugely significant Rambam. Everybody talks about this Rambam, very controversial Rambam. Meaning, what's going on in the Rambam is, you know, bekitzur, like what happens if you have special standards for one area of halacha, right? But those same standards wouldn't apply to other areas, to other tchumim in halacha. Those, they have different standards. Right? Is there like an overlap? You know, because we accept the lower standards or the different standards in one area of halacha, if that area now kind of overlaps to the more rigorous or more demanding area, right? Does it apply or not? So again, Eidechot is nem bisurim. Does that mean that in its context, and therefore we believe this is chelev, you know, and that's dam, you know, but you know. Let's say now he eats it. You know, is do we consider it to be vadai dam or vadai? That's so clearly what the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Isuri Bia, is talking about. The same language is what is connected to Hilchos Sanhedrin. That exactly how to square them completely is a big, and another Rambam is a matter of great controversy. Yeah. What?
If the Isser is Yoksa, so that should be the Isser Sota.
Then there should be Malkus.
Even if he's going to say you can't get Malkus because I need to aid it.
Yeah.
The Isser that he should mention there as having been Moksa is the Isser Sota.
You mean in that zona?
Right, that's
it's a good question. Again, the sorting them exactly out is still a little complicated. I just don't want to get too much into that right now. Maybe another time. But the bigger idea that I'm trying to explain is that what the Rambam is trying to, this is what Reb Chaim is trying to explain a little bit, why the Rambam uses that language and what's really going on. And that is, basically, the din of Eidecha B'Tumah is a special din in Sota. And the question is, will that also impact, you know, Znus? So she's not a Zona, what Reb Chaim also tries to explain is, she's not a Zona, you know, by virtue of the Maisa Sota, which she should have been, because that's not loke, you know, because we don't consider that to be badai. That's a special oser of kinu yustira. However, so this is Reb Chaim's chap, I guess you could call it. The fact that lemaisa now this woman cannot, you know, marry a kohen, even though it's because of an, you know, indefinite znus, albeit a definite iser of kinu yustira, which remains like a suffek znus, a suffek, you know, maisabia, in other words, or suffek begida. But nonetheless, the din of kinu yustira going forward, right, creates its own status of zone. That's how the Rambam is understood according to Reb Chaim. Meaning, this is an interesting question across the board, namely when you have, not that, oh, Eidecha Betuma is Vadai, but Eidecha Betuma is a din, it's a separate chalos, so, you know, when will you and when will you not, you know, apply it, you know, to other areas. It's almost like, again, I've spoken in the past with people who were here, you know, my mushal of the, you know, the file cabinets, you know. If there's already Kabbalah Sages and we accept something as factual in one area of halakha, so it's in the system, right? You know, does that, you know, once it's in the system, it's in the system. The problem is, you know, to get it into the system. Maybe there's no Kabbalah Sages when there's an Eid Echad, you know, Legabe Znus. But the Eid Echad Betuma is in the system, Betoras Hilchos Sota. And once it's in the system, you don't need a separate Kabbalah Sages for it, then we treat it as factual. But then the question is how factual is factual? So let me ask like one other ha'ara, because I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I'll totally take the questions in one more second. This idea that kinu yustira is its own mechayev, and then the question of, okay, and how does that end up being integrated, you know, in the overlapping effect that it would have on other things, is something that, you know, is lishitaso in the way that Reb Chaim understands the Rambam, you know, broadly. Like in the previous Reb Chaim also, he talks about kinu stira, not so much raglayim ledavar, and therefore it happened, but as a din. There's a lot of evidence to that. I gave the example of the Rajba, although in a parallel opposite way, right, the lechumra, this is more lekula. But this is also the way Reb Chaim understood, especially the Rambam, as opposed to Balei Tosfos, view on things like Safek, Tuma, you know, Birshus Hayachid, Tamei, right? Again, so, you know, it's often understood that what that means is, you know, that we resolve Sfekos and Tuma, Birshus Hayachid, you know, Bevadai, you know, lechumra, we say something tam brishus yam is tame, and therefore we now factually treat this as vadai tuma. And Reb Chaim, this is in the stencils, or the Kedusha Grach HaLashas, as it's come to be known. Reb Chaim thinks, no, the din of safek tuma brishus hayachid tame is a din. It's a halacha that we treat it this way, but we don't consider the mitzius to be fully established. And therefore, you know, when it comes to Malkus, when it comes to, like, affecting other things, it's very much an open question. So if you take that view, then, you know, you could say about Perek Aleph, Halakha, Chav Beis, and Yisurei Bia, you know, that that's a special din in Toma, and that's what the Lechem Mishnah says, and that's what Reb Chaim says. But whenever you have a Vadai Zinsa, Bishnei Edim, right, then of course you're Loka, and that's what the Rama means in Hilchos, Isurei Bia Perikiv Ches, what is it, Halacha Vav? Because that's not talking about Erech of Betuma. And that's also what Reb Chai, that's also what the Rambam means in Hilchos Geirishin, Perikiv Aleph, right, Halacha Yudal. However, again, if you're, it's a big leap to take that position, that Erech of Betuma is really a special din and sota and a status that doesn't, you know, translate into Malkus. Although, again, Reb Chaim's reading is a shitoso of his reading of these other things. Even he doesn't tell you that in either places, as far as I know, but it's the same kind of analysis, and it actually reinforces each other. And certainly that isn't the way that the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah understood it. The way they understood it, just give me one more second, I'll take all the questions together, is that the Rambam really holds that, you know, throughout, that there's no Malkus, all things being equal, for sota, that the lav, because it's either lav shabak, they say lav shabaklalos, right? Again, the Ramban said the Rambam holds it's a lav shabaklalos, that's why he's not monah. The Ramban doesn't say anything about malchus, but the Magid Mishnah, you know, who's, you know, is able to invoke that to say, ah, and that's why there's no malchus either. So the Magid Mishnah in Perek Aleph Hilchos Yisurei Bia is the one who first strongly makes this case. The Kesef Mishnah Alatar in Perek Aleph asks from, what are you going to do with Hilchos, you know, Geirushin? And he says, look what I wrote over there. Right? Then in Perek Yud Ches, Yisurei Bia Halacha Vav, again the Magid Mishnah is troubled. He says, in light of what I wrote in Perek Aleph, you know, the Rambam shouldn't have exactly said it this way. So he says, right, Lav Dafka, he's Nimshach Achar Lashon HaGemara, the Seifa sounds like he's, you know, kind of Choser in it. So, okay, it's not enough for him to be Choser, for the Magid Mishnah to be Choser. And then, of course, you have the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Geirushin, who quotes the Magid Mishnah, who's really, really troubled by this whole thing, as he alluded to also in Perek Aleph, and who basically says, yeah, I guess you have to either say that we're talking about Makas Mardus Rabbanan. Rambam himself says Makas Mardus in a case of Suffolk Sota, meaning Kinui and Stira, even without Eid Echad Betuma, never mind Shnei Medim. You know, so why did he say earlier Malkus? He says, that's, you know, to teach you, you don't even violate the Lav. Here you violate the Lav, you know, you just don't get, you know, the Malkus, you know, okay. That's how the Kesef Mishnah's first answer. But the second answer of the Kesef Mishnah is the one that I'm more intrigued by, and that's what we're talking about at the end, is that basically, maybe, what the Rambam is doing is being mechalek between standalone sota and a sota, right, in the context of Machzir Grushasa. In other words, she was a sota, and then they got divorced, right, and then, you know, he marries her, you know, and continues to live with her again. Now, again, you could have said this about even a regular case of Machzir Grushasa, right? The Kesef Mishnah, you know, suggests kind of streamlining the whole thing, you know, that maybe what we're talking about is kind of like a double Kiddush, meaning what's really happening here is there was Sota, there was Machzir Grushasa, and this combination of Sota and Machzir Grushasa, right, doesn't even require an intervening marriage to be Lokeh. The reason that he is motivated to say that, even though it's not clear at all that that's the case in Rambam, is in order to explain, like, where did the Malkus come from? So basically what he was trying to say was, Machzir Grushasa has Malkus, that typically Malkus of Machzir Grushasa requires an intervening marriage, but when there's Sota, then you don't need the intervening marriage. Why? Right? You could have also said the same idea, you know, and just leave it without, you know, reformulating Machzir Grushasa, just that when you have Sota after or in combination with Machzir Grushasa, you're Lokeh. So what I was trying to say the other day, which I'm just briefly recapitulating, is whether you say one or the other, whether you revise the rules of Machzir Grushasa in light or in a case of Sota, or whether you intensify Sota in a case of Machzir Grushasa, either one of those, what I call convergences, is logically problematic, you know, l'cha'ora, right? Because what we're saying is, from Machzir Grushasa point of view, this doesn't work. From a Sota point of view, this doesn't work. All of a sudden, you put them together and the rules of Sota are different, or the rules of Machzir Grushasa are different, or both rules are different. Like, how did that miraculously happen? So the more you think, you know, that Hailechu Dekoi, for some unfathomable reason, the Torah wanted to reveal the Lav of Sota in this Pasuk, but they have nothing to do with each other. One is within the marriage, the other is, you know, after an intervening marriage, one is an Iser, you know, of one type, the other. So then this convergence idea just makes zero sense, or becomes, I should say, very problematic. However, if it's not a coincidence that the Torah bundled or jumbled these things together, and they did it because as a common denominator, what we're really saying is that, you know, the din of Matzah Grishaso kind of ups the ante, you know, it illuminates, you know, with greater clarity and greater force, you know, Kedushas Ishus itself. Because even if technically you do everything, you know, you dot all the I's and you cross the T's, I actually said that right this time. I usually, like, flip that. But, right, even if you do everything Kedasu Kedin perfectly, right, and therefore everything, you know, there was a marriage and, you know, within the marriage everybody was faithful, and then there was a, you know, a divorce, and there was a second marriage, and all that is legitimate. You know, you have Sheva Brachos for that marriage too, and it could be a good marriage. You know, and now the question is, you know, Machzir, you know, Grushaso. So what's really the problem? But if, getting back to the Ramban's, you know, Lefi Pshuto, if the problem of Machzir Grushaso is that it highlights about the role that Gerushin is supposed to play as a key of Manishas, right? Like, you know, of Yehuda Leib? Ginsburg, though, suggests, right? And so basically what we're saying is there are, Kedushas Ishus is reflected by, of course, behavior inside the marriage, you know, but, you know, musical marriages highlights, you know, that our standards are even higher than that. But once our standards are higher than that, then frankly there can be mutual converging impact, you know, when these things, you know, come together. So what I'm saying is several things. Number one, just on a pure parshanut level, right? Like, why did the Torah introduce this lie here in Devarim in this context in such contorted, tortured fashion where they just could have, you know, been marbed in Bamidbar? Okay. So who am I to know? Maybe it is unfathomable. Maybe it's just a Gili Milsa. However, you know, this would be an explanation of that. Meaning, Masir Grushaso is made on an even more aspirational perspective on Kedushas Ishus, which establishes the betrayal from within as being a more, even more of a me'ila, even more of a betrayal. Right? It's not just Maisa Isuri Bia, which creates a technical Isur, Ase, right? It just shatters the Ishus. If you can't play musical Ishus, even when everything is contractually proper, because Ishus is this Davar Shebekdusho, you know, which, you know, is so sensitive to it, to its required level of Kedusha, then Kol Shekain, how much worse is it, you know, the betrayal? And if that's the case, so that explains the Parshanut problem, and why everything was a crescendo leading up to Masa Grushaso, even though, again, it's strange and rare and all the things that we discussed. But it also explains, again, what I was saying the other day, as a pshat in Yerushalmi. Would Yerushalmi be going further, according to that girsa, and be saying that, you know, if even according to my Shama, you need Machzir Grushaso. Because absent Machzir Grushaso, you would not have a lav for Sota. What do you mean you wouldn't have a lav for Sota? You wouldn't have Machzir Grushaso because you don't need it, and we'd find another way to be Marba. The answer is, if there was no din Machzir Grushaso, you know, then it wouldn't reflect that the Torah's perspective on Kedushas Ishus is quite as acute as it is. Right? You need that in order to justify the expansion of Sota. So not only is the Parshanut perfect, but we're even saying, you know, it isn't just the Gilui Emilsa, like how the Torah reveals it. It's like there's a real consequence. The world of Ishus would have been different if there wasn't an Isra of Masu Grishasa. That sounds dramatic, but I think that's what we're saying. So then to go further and to say, oh, and when there's actually a convergence between the inside betrayal and the machinations of turning get, you know, and Ishus, you know, into something, you know, ludicrous, you know, into a joke, a chucho tlula, you know, you're combining those two things. So the idea that the combination, you know, either raises the Isur Sota to a Malkus, or, you know, it drops the intervening requirement for Masu Grushaso to be considered Toeva and Tuma and, you know, and Hutama, you know, and so on and so forth, you know, absence any improper behavior within the marriage, there has to be an intervening, you know, Ishus. However, you know, if there was already a Begida within the marriage the idea that you're going to, you know, try to bring back, you know, what otherwise would be a heter maksu kushaso is totally unacceptable. Meaning the convergence in both directions is understandable because it's like a double whammy, you know, kind of an attack, you know, on the kedushas ishus, you know, foundation of ishus. Yeah. Yeah. He's not saying there's no. I mean, remember, the Magid Mishnah isn't saying that there's no lav. He's explaining the problem of Malkus.
I'm saying
it's clear in the Rambam that there's a lav of Matzah Grusha, that there's a lav of Sota, even without any kind of Matzah Grusha. I mean, Halakha Yudalid does say that there's clearly a lav, even absent any case of Matzah Grusha. So that I don't think is Nitan Lehe Amer. What the Kesev Mishnah is trying to explain in that answer is, you know, good, there's a lav, but how can there be Malkus if we've already established, and he doesn't think that we're distinguishing between Eidecha Betumah and Shnayim Edim. You know, so if we've already established there's no Malkus because it's Lav Shabbaklalos or whatever it is, how can there all of a sudden be, you know, in this context, you know, Malkus? But that there is a Lav, you know, that's Mefurish in the Rambam anyway. Right, no, the Kiddush is that what he's trying to suggest is that this is like a convergence that upgrades Maksa Grushaso. Now, he doesn't like the idea either, which I've suggested is still possible, that, you know, you could have two sotas, right? You could have a sota, just like the Ram, you know, just like Reb Chaim and the Lech HaMishnah are saying, you could have a sota, like, or let's just go back to the beginning. For the Rajma, there's a kind of an expanded sota, even when it's a total safek, right? And then for Reb Chaim and the Lech HaMishnah's understanding, you know, of Perek Aleph Halacha Chav Beis, you know, you can have a case where there's a total dim sota, you know, but there isn't necessarily, you know, confidence that there's a mitzius, you know, of sota. Then you have the Rambam, you know, according to the Magid Mishnah, saying you can have vadai, you know, sota, you know, but because it shares with Maksu Grishaso, it's a full lav, but there's not Malkus, right? And then you could have a level of saying, but what happens if you combine Maksu Grishaso and Sota, Vadai, for the Rambam? Maybe then there'll be Malkus? Right? That's a possibility, too, once you're saying what the Kassanish is saying. He doesn't want to say it. So what he says instead is, listen, Maksu Grishaso is loka. Sota is a lav, but it's not loka. Right? So what we really need to do is not remake or upgrade the sota. We need to revolutionize or refine, maybe is a better way to say it, or revise the conditions, you know, of maksa grushaso. Because we're still talking about sota and the halacha, so there has to be something about sota that changes. So we're saying, oh, if it's sota, you don't need the intervening marriage to trigger Maksa Grishaso. That's how he's explaining it. And anyways, Maksa Grishaso is loka. Just that typically Maksa Grishaso requires the intervening marriage. In the case of Sota, it doesn't. How do you know that? Because of the convergence. Is that logical? Yes, if you think that the convergence isn't coincidental, but is itself a reflection of the common denominator, notwithstanding some of the differences. But to say that there's no lab at all, you know, in the case of Sota, absent Maksa Grishaso, that I don't think is nitan, you know, lomar, because of the language of the Rambam and Allah Yudal. Yeah?
If the Rambam believes that there's an iser baal, even if there's just
stira? Even if there's just? Kinyu stira, right.
And then
but iser baal doesn't necessarily mean.
Right. The question of malchus stira
right.
Is a broader question of Eidecha Betumah. Then why in Malchus Sota, Paragala, Malchus Yudal, does he have to specify? pasuk of the Eidein Bav Ha'Re'id.
Of? The Eidein Bav, that's the...
That should be unnecessary.
Because that's still the... Oh, I don't know. I hear a question. I'm not sure. I have to look at it again. But I think that it's not unnecessary. I mean, in the end of the day, for Reb Chaim's reading of the Rambam, you know, which is kind of the Lechem Mishnah also, just Reb Chaim is explaining it. So, in the end of the day, there you kind of do have to repeat it, because when you acknowledge that factually we don't really know, we're admitting that there remains a suffix, and that this is all built on the process and the din, right? So, you know, that itself is very tentative, like, you know, mativo shall, you know, shall din zed, that we don't really know, you know, that there are two levels, let's say, of suffix sota, you know, or three levels. You know, one where we just have suspicion, that's nothing. Another one of kini yustira, there's an iser, right? And then there's another one where there's also tuma, you know, and there's a lav, you know, and there's more, you know, but it still doesn't reach the level of the fourth, you know, which is where it's vada. So I think the Rambam is, if that's the case, and that the Rambam is very, you know, kind of, I would say apologetic, but that he's very defensive is the right word. That he's very defensive about it is understandable. Because, you know, it's not being full, right, raises the question of why is it even then miksas? So that's Gzeiras HaKasuv. The Gzeiras HaKasuv part, if it were just, oh, the Eid Echad, we believe him, then that would be the end of it. But if Eid Echad is Mechayiv, it's a din in Kinu Yistira, not the Metzius, then that's something to be more delicate and defensive about. Yeah. Hi.
Why would, why would it be considered a convergence?
Why would what?
Why would it be considered a convergence if there wasn't actually a kedusha? Meaning as
no, there has to be. What do you mean? There's no kedusha?
No,
in between.
Yes.
What he's saying is, I think the Kasanish is saying, listen, if there's an innocent ishus, I want to get that in a second. If there's an innocent ishus in between, right, or legal ishus in between, meaning Reuven was married to Sarah, Reuven and Sarah divorced, Sarah married Shimon, right? And there was a divorce or a death, and now Reuven wants to remarry Sarah. That's a typical case of Masa Grushasa. What the Kesem Mishnah is saying is that, you know, while that is a required, you know, protocol for Masa Grushasa, and otherwise it's Masa Grushasa Beheter, even if there's Nus in between. However, if we're talking about someone who was a Sota, right, then there's also a Masa Grushasa even without the intervening other issues. Meaning once there's a divorce, that there's a divorce and that's the end of it. Because the whole idea is that if the whole idea, the mechayiv of Masa Grushaso is that is kedushas ishus is compromised, you can't have the second marriage because the things that have happened in the past, you know, render it, you know, just a framework for heter biyah or znus. There can't be kedusha. The kedusha part has already been torpedoed. So the point is, frankly, if an erusin, you know, of some other legal erusin does that, I'll get to that more in a second, then Kol Shekein, the effort to bring back somebody, no, you know, she's not allowed to live with her anyway. But you're not allowed to live with her because she was bogedes, and now you're going to remarry her? Like, what does that say about the seishas? That's what I'm saying. Yeah?
Just returning to Zach's suggestion, if the Knesset Mishnah thinks the Rambam Yudala is talking about a case of a Sota Grusha,
yeah,
then the Rambam is not referring that there's ever a lab now.
Say that again? Oh, you mean a lav of sota even?
Yeah,
lav of sota. But isn't that pretty clear? I mean, it's explicit Gemara. The Gemara Yevamos Yud Aleph Amud Beis. No, I feel I'm not even sure. Doesn't what about the halacha previous? I mean, reading that about is it talking about only this case?
Yeah.
I'm dubious. I hear it. Let me just. I hear it. I hear what you're saying. It's an interesting point. I think it's a little bit. You might be right. In which case, that would be very fascinating. That would be an interesting aura to. The Kesem Mishnah doesn't think that. I mean, the Kesem. Yeah. I think it's clear that he doesn't hold that way. But I hear what you're saying. But isn't, I think number one, it's a little bit tafasta maruba. You know, look, I don't know whether the chidushim here, which are already pretty, you know, impressive, you know, or whether we need to make, you know, more chidushim, you know, even, in terms of the way this is typically understood. Most people understand the Gemara Yevamos, you know, Aleph on the base, in a very simple way. Right? Meaning, the Parshanut, and that is not simple, which is what we're struggling with, but the simple reading of the Gemara is, you know, that there's a lav in every case of Sota, which is, you know, the ribui, you know, is from the pasuk of Matzah Rishas. To say the Rambam held that that was not so, I think is very, very mechudash. Kol isha shezines tachas bala nesra al bala. I hear it. It's still good. It's a good hara. I don't think the Kesef Mishnah would be comfortable to go that far, but that's my instinct for the reasons that I'm saying. But I hear it. I do hear it. Okay. Yeah. Uriel.
Regarding the way that the graph is going on ends up being consistent with our understanding of the relationship between the two Yisurim. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, in Yud-Dalet, he never mentions Shem Sota. So it seems that if you thought that they were really two separate Yisurim, then there's one of Master Grushasa, and there's another thing which is called...
I'm not catching. You're trying to explain the Rambam Yud-Dalet according to Lechem Mishnah Reb Chaim?
Yeah, according to Lechem Mishnah Reb Chaim...
It's a different case.
It's a different case, which is not related to Chalos Sota.
Correct.
If it was related to Chalos Sota...
Correct. It's Mises Nos.
Right, it's Mises Nos, and that's why it requires... It's Mises Nos, which isn't related to any Chalos Sota, and that's why it requires
Correct.
If that's the case, then it explains why it's more related to Ubechlal Lab Zeh. It's, you know, it's a subcategory of...
Matzah Grushasa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There's good horror. Okay, great. Did you have something?
No, it just seems the two R's that were just made by Zach and Yaakov, like, seems like what the Kesef Mishnah is saying.
Is what? That's the only case?
Yeah.
That's the only Lav or the only Malkus?
That's the only Lav.
Oh, really? You read it that way?
Yeah, the Hashta Micha, the Inza, Lav Shavaklaus, the Inkan, Ela Lav Echad, Shalachzi Grusha.
No. I think... It's when he's saying not lav, he's saying it's not lav maksu grusha, it's not lav shebeklolos, because you're getting the malchus for the maksu grusha, so not for the. He's not saying it's not lav shebeklolos because if the lav doesn't apply. I thought he was saying it's not lav shebeklolos because sota's a lav shebeklolos, but maksu grusha, so you're loka for. This is an adjustment on maksu grusha, so not an adjustment on sota. I think that's what he's saying.
What would be the makor for the lav dagger in this section?
Which lav?
The lav of Sota that you don't get malchus for.
The lav of Sota. No, I'm not saying, I don't think there are two different lav then. I mean, the way the Kesef Mishnah is reading it? No, there's only one lav of Sota.
Right, what's the makor for it?
The hutama, the all that stuff.
And where did we learn the reboy of Master Grushaso, that there's a second version of Master Grushaso?
Just from the convergence. I mean, it's also read in there. But the assumption isn't that they're... Look, put it this way. If the Kesef Mishnah were the Ramban, okay? Like, this is like one of those ice-breaking classes. You know, if the Kesef Mishnah were the Ramban, would he count three? Methinks not. That's what I'm saying. Okay. But I appreciate everybody's passion on this, but I do want to move on. Was there another question that I didn't... Yeah. For the Kesef Mishnah?
Yeah.
You don't get Malkus for Sota. You get Malkus for Matsu Grushaso type B as opposed to type A. There are two Matsu Grushasos, Kesef Mishnah. You do get Malkus, but what do you get Malkus for? So it sounds that way, but the way I'm telling you, I might have understood it that way, even within the Kesef Mishnah's worldview. That's a different convergent. That's the Maksa Grushaso bumping up the Sota, but that's not what he says. What he says is, when you have this combination, you bump up, you bump down the requirements of Maksa Grushaso. You get Malkus for Maksa Grushaso, according to the Kesef Mishnah, even though there was no intervening marriage. That's the finish. Do you understand? you're saying, oh, it doesn't sound that way in the Rambam, it sounds like you're getting Malkus for the Sota. I totally agree. That's why I want to suggest a slightly different version of it. But I understand why the Kesef Misha didn't like that, because he thought it was Lav Shebeklalos. Let me say it this way. He was convinced, based on the Ramban and others and the Magid Misha, that it was Lav Shebeklalos. So he's saying, listen, and like what you guys were asking before, is there some other Pasuk? I mean, either it is a Lav Shebeklalos or not. So he's saying, it's Lav Shebeklalos. You'll never get Malkus. So how do you get Malkus in the Rambam's case? The answer is it doesn't look that way, but what's really happening is, the Rambam's saying, when you have a Sota converging, then Masu Grishasa doesn't require an intervening Ishus. The Sota is so much worse than the intervening Ishus that the Masu Grishasa is Loka. It's the Masu Grishasa isn't Lav Shebeklalos. That's the Ikar Lav, whatever it is. That's always Loka. What? Yeah, because if she wasn't Mizana Takas Baila, this wouldn't be an Isra of Masu Grishaso, because there wasn't an intervening marriage. The Rama, according to the Kesef Misha, the Rambam's describing a new circumstance for Masu Grishaso, which is Loka. You may not like it, but that's what the Kesef Misha said. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're saying what the Kesef Misha is saying already, I agree that it sounds more in the Rambam and Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph, like, you know, that he's focusing on the Sota part, not the Masa Grishasa part. So to me, once you're going to say, you know, the things that we're saying, including why did the Torah introduce it this way, including, you know, what that Yerushalmi, if there never had been a Masa Grishasa, there never would have been a Lav for Sota, why not? Once you're saying all this, I can also see, just like there are levels, you know, of, you can have a kinu yistira, you know, and that's one level, right? And you can have a kinu yistira in ein echad betuma, and that's a second level. So too, you can have a kinu yistira, you know, a kinu and a stira and an edus, you know, and that's a third level. But when you have kinu yistira edus in the context of sota, that's a fourth level. That's all I'm saying. And that would be Malka, Loka. Yeah. That's what I'm suggesting. Okay. Let me get back, because I... Yeah. All right, quick.
Is there a clearly mentioned a Lav, a Malkus by Sota in Disturbia Parakit Fest, around we said earlier?
In what? In which one?
Parakit Fest, Loka, Lav, Mishnah.
Yeah, so that's the question. I told you that's just part of the mix. Magid Mishnah thought that he didn't mean it. Or that you read the Seifa, it doesn't really mean, he means that the Tumah triggers the Zona. You're right, that's a problem, but I'm saying...
within the Kesef Mishnah,
The Kesef Mishnah, like, is...
there would be no source of that.
Or you'd have to read it the way the Magid Mishnah reads it. He may not like the way that it's reading the Geirushin Yud Aleph, like the Magid Mishnah, but, you know, reading Yud Ches Vav and Isur Ebiya like the Magid Mishnah isn't the end of the world. That's what I'm guessing. Okay, good. We get the bigger idea. So all of this, of course, makes Masa Grishaso, you know, so central. So just another, a slightly different perspective, just to think about. One could have said that Masa Grishaso, the way I'm interpreting Masa Grishaso, we understand why the Rambam, you know, formulates it in Nicholas Geirushin, not in Yisurei Bia. He could have formulated it in Hilchos Ishus too, frankly, but certainly it's reasonable to put it in Hilchos Geirushin. It's not that the circumstances, you know, of Masa Grishaso are creating an Isurei Bia as much as, you know, the it's all about Kedushas Ishus or the manipulation of the institution of Geirushin, you know, which is supposed to serve a certain function, and therefore it's actually, you know, dealt with in Hilchos Geirushin. What about the fact that the Rambam and the Ramban, going back to that other question, emphasize Nisuin, the Rambam in Koteret and Sefer Mitzvos, as opposed to Halacha, what is it, Yud Gimel, where he says clearly it doesn't matter, is it Yud Gimel or Yud Beis? Yud Beis, right? Am Garis Yisishim in Skach Aliacher, Afa Pishalo Bala, right? And yet, when it comes to the Koteret, and when it comes to the Sefer Mitzvos, he says, Nises. Right? And the Ramban, Alatorah, the same. So again, clearly they paskin like the Chacham. So it's an anomaly. It's certainly a situation where, you know, there's an inaccuracy of some sort. But, you know, there's a Torah to the inaccuracy of great men, too. Meaning they knew what they were writing, you know, and it isn't really an inaccuracy. In my opinion, what it really is an emphasis. So let's just go back for one more second. In the Gemara Yevamos Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara has the position of Yosef ben Kippur, who says Dafka Nesu. And then the Chacham disagree, they say Bein Beris and Bein Benesu. So the question really is, what is the nature and the scope of that machlokas? Now, you could have said, and I think there are good reasons to think this way, that it's a very fundamental argument about the nature of Machzor Grushaso. I mean, the requirements reflect like a fundamental debate. And what by the way, suggests that in particular is the Gemara itself, which says that if you hold like a Yosi ben Kippur, right, so the words Hutama is okay, you don't have to stick in, you know, you don't have to integrate Sota, you know, into that Pasuk, right? Whereas if you hold like the Chachamim, which is how we paskin, right, you have to say Sota's part of this mix as well. So you might have thought, and I might have thought, you could say, when you read the Shakavataria in Yevamos, that Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur and the Chachamim have two very different ideas about what Matzah Grushaso is really all about. You know, and you could also wonder, if you want to go even further with it, you know, whether, you know, Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, you know, it's Niseis, but maybe it isn't just even Niseis. Maybe it's really like Nivala, you know, Betocha Kiddushin. Not actually, but kind of a, you know, once there's Niseis, you know, that's kind of Omedet Lekach. It's kind of the expectation of that. Whereas for the Chachamim, Echad Erisin, Echad Nisuin, you know, it's Kiddushin itself. Right? That's one way to read the Gemara. And if you take that position, then, you know, especially, again, whatever you want to say about the Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur part, I'm more concerned about the Chachamim, because that's how we paskin. What you really might say is that the real emphasis here is actually on the Erusin part. The fact that she was an Eish HaSish in the intervening moments, that's what is crucial. So, for example, I think I mentioned this the other day, but when I was looking, you know, around for the Parshanim and, you know, trying to, you know, formulate all that, etc. One second. I took a picture of this. Yeah. So I think I mentioned that in Rav Hirsch's Perush Al HaTorah, he has like a certain suggestion. And then he says, oh, I found it in the Sefer Sharashim of the Radak. Asher, do you have I was going to call up Asher, you know. I do not have Sefer Sharashim in my home. Although my, you know, interest in Diktuk, I'm sure, is well known. But it's a very interesting Sefer. That's the Radak Sefer on Diktuk. I was trying to find this because I was very intrigued by it. So I finally found it. I was going to, you know, at least find out. What's the other one? Not Safaria, but the one that you... Al HaTorah? Yeah, I forgot what it was, so I couldn't look there. But I did find it in Safaria, which is, I guess, a good resource. And in Sefer Sharashim, the Erech of Tamei, so the Radak... Oop, one second. The Radak discusses, you know, this pasuk, because it's also the diktuk of it. Hu Tama is very difficult. You know, Mishpato in Tav, Hahit Pael, Hit Tama. So the Radak himself says, oh, what is this? You know, what's the Tuma? Because if she's, you know, Niseis la'acher, so Mistama, she was Nivala li'acher, and therefore, you know, that's the problem. We'll get back to that in a second. The Ibn Ezra, by the way, in his Perush Al HaTorah, says that the problem is nival ali acher b'tocha ishus, and the mefarshim let him have it, Because they say, what are you talking about? That's against the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos, you know, says either you need Nisuin or according to Chachamim you need Erusin, but certainly you don't need Maisabiya, as the Rambam himself codifies. That's the Pashas in the Gemara. Ah. So how do you explain, before I get to the father of the Radak, which is interesting, how do you explain the Ibn Ezra and the Radak? I mean, they knew the Gemara. Certainly the Radak did. I mean, Ibn Ezra knew it, but, you know, he sometimes disregards it, but the Radak typically does it. So what do they mean? Obviously, what they mean is, you know, that this is some kind of a, you know, it's a filo bin nesuin lechud, but it's not nesuin as nesuin, it's nesuin as omedes and muteres, you know, and mukheres, you know, lebias acher. And probably what they're thinking is that this is kind of like a hilchos, you know, this is like an extension of sota in a way. So it's true that znus alone wouldn't be a problem in masug rishasa, maybe because znus alone, you know, outside of a marriage or any marriage, maybe doesn't sufficiently register. Even according to the Rambam, it would. It's kadesha, but others maybe wouldn't register. It's asur, but it's not, you know, a significant thing. But inside ishus, even though there's no znus at all, you know, but the fact that she's legally muteres la'adam acher, you know, so for you then, you know, to have, you know, this kind of, you know, a relationship, given your own previous history, it's almost like a sota, you know, situation. Even though it's like a legal sota situation. So I think what the Ibn Ezra and the Radak have in mind is not nesuin, it's nesuin as omedes, you know, libya. And I think that's how they interpret. However, the father... So the Radak quotes his father. He says, Adoni avizal piresh, acharei asher hutama, lashon minia. Klomar, not hutama nivala, or omedet libael, lashon minia. Klomar, acharei shenimna'a mimenu, shelo yakol kachta ba'oda isha, esha sa'achron, v'chein yavozeh perish odasar bosenu bivamos, because he's kind of acknowledging that the first one is a little problem. Shekiblu shafilu nisar soliacher, afa bishalo nivalalo, asur lebala rishon. Then he's asking like the chachamim, dichsiv haisal ishacher kibich haisa bohavaya. I think what he's saying is, by the way, it was really important, is that according to the chachamim, if it's a din erusin, so is it a din omeid lebia? Hold on a second. It's bad enough that they, you know, spam you, but they interfere with your, you know, say for Sharashim reading. Anyways, so Afal Shmisha Lo Nivalalo Asur Labala Rishon Dixiv Haisal Ishacher Kivin Shaisa by Bahavaya Bimzinsa Muteris Lachsal Rishon Kivin Shalo Haisa Bahavaya Imkain Hutama Rotsalomar Nimnea. Then he has like other Perushim. So this is a spectacular Perush, very subtle. What's he saying? Somehow, the fact that she was Nasra to him, right, makes her off limits in terms of the future Ishus. Why? I mean, that's always true about anybody. Any woman who was married to any man was Asura to. It's like, you know, Reuven was married to Sarah, right, and then they got a divorce and she married Shimon. I mean, at the time that she was married to Reuven, she was Asura L'Shimon. Ah. So the answer is yes, but there's no chalos in that, meaning she has no shaychus to Shimon. But if she has shaychus, she was once the wife of Reuven, and now, you know, she's Asura with as an Eshes Ish, a love. There's no coming back from that. Why not? I can think of two reasons. Either the chalos isra of Eish HaSish is different for somebody with whom there previously was heter, as opposed to somebody who's just not mitzurah to the whole topic at all. So it's a kind of a isra bi idea. Like you never recover from that isra Eish HaSish. It's a more acute, you know, isra, which isn't matired by the get. Maybe. I think that's what Hirsch had kind of asked about. More likely, to my mind at least, what it means is as follows. We talked in Masug Rishaso, you know, Masug Rishaso Beheter in particular, about the idea that maybe on some level, and again, I want to make it clear, it's not true for all things, you know, on some level you kind of lapse back into the original Ishus. You like undo the gap. I don't mean it literally, but I mean it in some respects. And maybe, I was even saying, that would be the only way that Masu Grishasa would ever be Mutter is because you can perceive it on some level as reverting back to the original Ishus. The more we look at it as a second Ishus with the same person, the more it's conceptually and halakhically problematic. I was talking about that in terms of other issues.
Awesome.
Maybe that's the pshat in the Radak's father's perspective. Namely, as long as there's no Isur Eishes Ish, there's no serious impediment to them getting remarried, so the capacity to revert to the original husband, which is the only way to kind of salvage the Kedusha of this Ishus, remains. And even if she was Mizana in between, right, which is certainly not a good thing, but in the end of the day, you know, he could have married her all along. The ability to marry, to remarry her at any moment means that the books are still open and you can still lapse back into the Ishus, the Heter. But the second that she's an Eishes Ish, and right now he can't marry her, that is the ultimate disruption of the Ishus. To marry her again, even though the Isur Eishes Ish is paka, not like the first way I was saying it, okay, either way the Isur Eishes Ish would be paka, but the point is that to do that would be as a second marriage, not as a Matzah Grushasa. And that's illegal. One could have said, if you're taking the lapsing back, you know, approach, in general, that the problem of Matzah Grushasa is kind of like a sota. You know, it's just a sota, even b'li bia, as long as there's an assume. Okay, anyways, let's go back to the round. So that's a few, the father of the Radak in particular highlights, in my opinion, that the Chachamim's view of Masu Grishaso is fundamentally different than Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur, in both directions. Meaning, for them, the key is the Yisur Eishes Ish, and that's the Averson. Whereas for Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur, obviously that's not the impediment. And maybe what is the impediment is either the Nisuin itself, which I'll get back to, or Omedes, you know, Libia, or Loplug, you know, Shema Nivala, etc. However, getting back to the Rambam and the Ramban, I think is something else that one could say, and that is, really, the Chachamim fundamentally agree with the Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur. Why? Because if all we were focusing on, you know, was the Erusin, the intervening Erusin, on a certain level, right, that doesn't really, on certain levels, certain understanding, doesn't really pose a challenge, you know, to Matzah Grushas. I'm not talking about the father of Radak, I'm talking about going back to our perspective about Kedushas Ishus. Because Erusin's an Oser. And this is particularly true according to the Rambam. Right? The Oser Lanuas Arusos is something that's taken very, very seriously. If anything, the distance is actually greater. So there's an Erusin, big deal. She's even more Oser to the potential husband. There was never an Nisuin. Like, why does that a Matzah Grishasa problem? However, even the Rambam, who thinks, and therefore, there's a lot to recommend Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur. Because if you're really worried that, oh, the intervening Ishus makes it musical Ishus in a way that's unacceptable, of course you're going to zero in on the Nisuin, which is the completion of the Ishus, which is the Matir part, the Simcha part, the intimate part, the Heter Isha Labala. I don't mean Heter Isha Labala the same way I meant it in the Ibn Ezra and the Radak, you know, before. I mean more, this is, you know, a Gemar Ishus. But even according to the Rambam, that the Erusin's contribution is L'shem Oser Lifnei HaNesuin, the Rambam himself has formulations in which he understands that Erusin also, because of it being an Oser, is the first step to a Heter Isha Labala and a Nesuin. How is it that the Rambam formulates, you know, Ishus and the Kotera? Lisa, Isha, Biksuva, the Kiddush. That's what, in my opinion, misled Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam to think that the Rambam holds Mitzvah as Erusin v'Nisuin. something belied by Vili Kuchen Eilam Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah. But the way I interpret Lisa Isher B'Ksuva B'Kedushin, or Perek Aleph Halakha Aleph, I'm sorry I'm going a little over time, but we have a little bit of a break, so whoever has to leave should leave. I also want to say something else for a minute, but I really want to try to get through this so we don't, you know, linger too much. But in Perek Aleph Halakha Aleph, anybody who has to leave, though, for sure, I don't want to, anybody to be late. Perek Aleph Halakha Aleph, the Ram says, Im Yirtza Isha, Lisa Isha. Right? I mean, the goal, that's what I was trying to explain about why the Rambam emphasizes Matan Torah, pre-Matan Torah. The goal is Nisuin. Erusin is the methodology, and it's an Oser Kodem, you know, Le Heter, but the goal is to increase the significance of the Heter, the Kedusha of the Heter. So I think what the Rambam is saying is, we paskin like the Chachamim, Bein Be'erusin, Bein B'Nisuin. But conceptually, because even Erusin is an investment, really, in the Nisuin. So it's not Erusin in its own right, it's Erusin as Tchila Sa'isha, says Amir Sa'isha Li Sa'isha, or Li Sa'isha B'Ksuva V'Kiddushin. And I think that's what the Ramban means too. So even though technically it's Erusin, what we're saying is it's Hamovil, the Nisuin, is the problem of Masa Grushaso. Because the problem of Masa Grushaso is you can't play musical Ishus. The musical Ishus problem wouldn't be a problem if you cut off Erusin at Erusin, because that's an Oser. So Dafka Lishitaso, in the case of the Rambam at least, you know, it's not just always being loose and imprecise. He's attracted, you know, to the formulation of Nisuin, as long as he can, it's the Nisuin part, or the leading to the Nisuin part is the Bechai. That's kind of what I want to suggest. Oh. So, so now let's talk about two other things very quickly, and then I want to say something about Rosh Hashanah very quickly. Sorry, I was planning to say more. What about, the question in the Gemara in, the question in general, and the question that is seemingly addressed, you know, directly in the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Ayin Chesam Adalif. Namely, when it comes to Isurei Bia, generally, you know, Baal alone, Kidesh alone, or Kideshu Baal? Right, that's an interesting issue, an interesting question. And the Gemara deals with it on Ayin Chesam Adalif in Kedushin. There are different ways to read the Gemara. The Rambam, I'm going to give you the short story, instead of calling on people, it'll be longer. But in Perek Tezvav, Hilchos Isurei Bia, right, the Rambam outlines that in his view, you know, we Isurei Kahuna for sure, require Kideshu Baal. Right? The Ramban actually disagrees. He thinks that, you know, certain Isurim require Kideshu Baal, and others, Baal is enough, Sulei Kuna, etc. What about Maksu Grushaso? So, what's the story of Maksu Grushaso? So the Gemara, Ein Chesam Aleph in Kiddushin, quotes Abaye and Rava. They seem to be arguing about these questions. Do you get two Malkus, one for Kiddush, one for Baal, you know, or only Kiddush or Baal? At one point, the Gemara says, Moda Abaye b'Maksu Grushaso. Then the Gemara says, Moda, you know, Shnehem b'Maksu Grushaso. If you take the Gemara Kipshuto, it sounds like Masa Grushaso, Likula Alma requires both Kidesh and Baal. The Ramban, who generally is of the opinion that Baal Lechud would be Loke in these Isurei Kahuna, etc., says, but Shiny Masa Grushaso, based on the Gemara in Kedushin, and based on the Psukim, the language of the Psukim, Masa Grushaso for sure requires Kidesh. So I just want to bring to it, there's a whole discussion. The Rambam wrote a whole letter to the Chachmei Lunil, right, explaining, you know, his shita, why he requires Kidesh Ubal. Again, the Magad Mishnah or Kesa Mishnah quotes it extensively in Perek Tezvav Halacha, but it's in the letters of the Rambam. And again, the Ramban disagreed, and that's an interesting issue. Why would Maksu Grush also be different for the Ramban? Good question. But what I wanted to bring to your attention is that when you look in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mitzvah Shin Nun Vav, right there, the Rambam sounds like all he cares about is Kiddush, which we love, one second. Yeah. He says here, Ha'adam mehaksir grushaso achar shemises. Lizulaso. Wamara leicha bala rishon shoshocha leshul lekachka achre sherutama. Over lav zeloke, bar is bar, bimekoma biyabam. So already in the some of the Nosa Kalim, like here in the Frankel Sefer Mitzvos, he makes the comment. Says Loke Kishabol Achar Kiddushin Kiddushin Ayin Chesamid Aleph Huva Betshuvas Rabbeinu Magid Mishnah Yisrael Biyip Reish Pet Tetzva V'chein Kosov Belos Hasei Nun Gimel Kufnin Ches Samach Beis V'lo Kosov Zeh Belos Hasei Shin Nun Dalid. The Khan, Ubalos say, I think it says Shun and Zayim, I think that's a mistake. Whatever. Meaning, people notice that the Rambam here seems to go out of his way to emphasize the marriage, not the Bia. Even though, again, it sounds in the Gemara and Kedushin like everybody agrees Masu Gushase, you require both. The Rambam is explicit in Hilchos Geirushin that you require both. Right here, Parakid Aleph Halacha in base. Amigarish says Mishkatcha Leakar Pishalo Bala Nesrala Rishon and Mitzira Rishon Ubala Loke. But in Sefer Mitzvah, it doesn't sound that way. What's the other one that doesn't sound that way? Loyova Mamzer Bekal Hashem. So the Rambam changed his mind in Sefer Mitzvah and has some way of reading the Gemara and Kedushin Ayin Chesamid Aleph differently. Maybe. I doubt it. I think again, it's an emphasis point. Even if you require kidei shubal, you know there can be three, you know, perspectives. You know, one is you just require the mechayev is, you know, kidesh, but when it's kidei shubal, that kind of reinforces, you know, the kidesh. It could be it's a mechayev of ubal, but ubal in the context of kiddushin is a more statured ubal. So it's a din of a ball, right? It could be that both of these are true, and that for different isurim, even if you require kiddush ubal, right, in some cases, it's a reinforcement of one, and in other cases, the other. I think that's what the Rambam is saying. In Masa Grushaso, it's not isurei bia. It's a din of Hilchos Geirushin. It's about the institutions of Nisuin, Kiddushin, Erusin, Nisu, Erusin leading to Nisuin, and Geirushin. And therefore, the Ikar emphasis, even though maybe technically you require Loke, to be Loke you require also Baal, is that, you know, kind of strengthens or reinforces, you know, the Ishus itself. Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem, likewise, it's not the Maisa Veira, right? It's the Knisa Lekahal of a Mamzer. It's the marriage. Just that maybe Lemaisa, you know, if it's just a marriage in name and nothing, you know, was consummated, even though technically that still constitutes Nisuin or Erusin Nisuin. There might even just be the Erusin, but so I think that is a second point. Third point is the discussion in the Minchas Chinuch. You know, what about Chatzi Shivcha Chatzi Vaschor? So the onesh is different. Is there still a din of Matzir Grushoso? Somebody was married to a Chatzi Shivcha Chatzi Vaschorin, right? And then there was Shechur or whatever. So what about Chazara in that case? So again, the Minchas Chinuch zeroes in on the onesh part and whether that's a Tanai, you know, in the kind of Ishus. But I think, you know, that according to the perspective that this is all about Kedushas Ishus to begin with, you know, so Chatzi Shivcha Chatzi Bas Chorin, you know, is already kind of a Birya B'fnei Atzma in the world of Ishus. That's why the Onesh is different, and that's why certain other things are different, you know, as well. So together with, like, Pilegesh, for those, for the Rambam only in Melech, for others, Yiyud, like, there are some Ishiyos that are closer to, you know, the Ishus of a Ben Noach than that of a Yisrael, where there's Heter, you know, Isha, but you don't have that kind of kedusha. Would there be matzu grushasa in those cases or not? Okay, I'm going to have to stop. But let me just say one other thing about Rosh Hashanah before we conclude. So the Gemara says in Yoma, we were talking about, you know, get krisus and the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then, of course, that is all relevant to tshuva. And I mentioned that it seems like the Radak is saying that the difference is the capacity for tshuva itself is responsible for this fundamental difference. So it's just very interesting that when the Gemara, you know, has its perorations in the end of Yoma, so on Pei Vavmud Beis, before the Gemara even gets to the famous tshuva meyava, you know, shezdonos nasos kizchuyos, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, gdola tshuva shedoche lo sasesha b'torah. And what is the lo sasesha b'torah? Shenemar lemor, according to Pasuk in Yirmiyah, that we were discussing, Yishaya and Yirmiyah, right? Hein yishalach isha sishto v'ocha me'ito v'aysol isha cher hayashuve leha od aluchanof techna fa'aretz ahi ba'ad zanit reyim rabim v'shuve lai ne'umashem. So basically, you know, gdola tshuva shadocha lo sase shabatorah, according to the Gemara, and Rashi makes it clear, lo yuchal ba'ala harishon, you know, arsher shilcha, lakachta. So the greatness of tshuva is reflected in the fact that it constitutes an exception to masa grushasa. So this accentuation that we, you know, have been following about, you know, what masa grushasa is, why it's the climax of the presentation of kiddushin and gerushin, the interface with sota, etc., 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 this outsized symbolic significance, is further reinforced by gedola tshuva, that it's docha lo sase shabbaton. But the reason behind it is exactly the fact that there is no real sefer krisus. And for the overlapping reasons that I mentioned on Monday, right, for many different overlapping reasons, the whole relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael defies even the most intense other human relationship that, you know, in some respects is a model and is modeled after that relationship. And that surely, right, is very, very significant. It's very interesting that I always love to quote this, Medrash Yerushalmi, in the end of that the Rosh and the Mordechai, you know, quote in the end of, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, just a very kind of gripping, right, description of, you know, how we relate to the Yom HaNoraim. Amrab Simon, Ksiv Mikoy Gadol, Rab Chanina Rab Yeshua Chad Amar, Eza Uma Kuuma Zos, Sheyodas Ophia Shal Elokeha. Benoik Shaba Olam, Adam Sheishlo Din, Love Shchorim, Miskase Shchorim, Megadel Skono, Enochotek Siparnov, Sheeni Odea, Echdino Yotze, Avi Yisrael, Enon Kane. Loshim Levanim, Misatvim Levanim, Megalchim Skanam, Chotkim Tziparneim, Ochlim Vishosim, Usmeichim Barash Hashanah, Lefisha Yodim Shakarish Barhu, Oslam Nisim, Umatas Dinam Lakavskus, the Korea Lahem Gzardina. So this is a very beautiful medrash about the confidence of Klal Yisrael, the fact that, you know, Rosh Hashanah is a day not of panic, but an opportunity, and it's a day of simcha, you know, in addition, you know, to year of Afacha. And where does that confidence come from? The answer is it comes from, you know, the Hemartem and the Hemarta that we spoke of in all of its meanings. It comes from, you know, Gdola Tshuva Shadocha Lo Sase Shabbatorah. It comes from, you know, Eza Sefer Krisus, you know, Shekasavti, you know, to Le'imchem. It comes from this recognition that the relationship, you know, is an enduring one, and that accentuates the rough patches, and it imposes even a greater obligation, you know, to ensure, you know, shalom bayis and to behave properly. But at the same time, it establishes a level of confidence there can never be Yiyush, and the whole institution of tshuva, especially tshuva for Yisrael, is the mechanism, you know, which is employed, you know, to be doche velosasei, you know, of machzir grushaso. And you know, just to highlight it, just for another minute, you know, the Rambam, of course, famously characterizes Yimei Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as Ein Bahem Simcha Yaseira, calls them Yimei, you know, Pachad Yira, trying to explain the halacha that there's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So number one, I always like to quote the formulation of the Rambam in Pirshim Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, which is a little bit, I think, even more more compelling, and that is that Yimei Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur are Yimei Yira V'Fachad, you know, Mimenu, but also Ummanos Umivrach Elav. It's not a Yira which is paralyzing or which engenders Yeush. Quite to the contrary, you know, it's the kind of Yira, you know, which really highlights, you know, the necessity of the indispensability of the relationship, but also the accessibility, you know, of the relationship. And that while the first step of Yira is a certain kind of, you know, retreat and recoil even, when it comes to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, ultimately the goal is, and the effect is, you know, actually to increase the sense of dependence and the sense of identification, the mivrach umanos, a love. It's interesting that the Rambam, I think I mentioned this in another context, but in Perek Yud, Hilchos Tshuva, the last of the Prakim, is all about Avas Hashem. And that is significant in its own right. There's a lot to say about that. But the last halacha in, you know, Sefer Mada, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud, also makes reference back to the Rambam's treatment of Avas Hashem in Hilchos. He says, look what I wrote in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. And of course, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, that's where the Rambam, you know, right after, you know, establishing, you know, the theological truth of Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Yichud Hashem, immediately says, you know, mitzvah la'ava la'aveu. Do you have it there? Mitzvah la'avo, you know, uliyira oso. And then Rambam goes on to explain, ketzad hi ahavaso v'yiraso. And it's one of the few cases where the Rambam bundles, you know, mitzvos categories. We're talking about that here. Namely, typically the Rambam will say, there's the mitzvah, this is what it is, and this is how you do it. And then the next mitzvah, and this is how you do it. And Yesodei HaTorah, he has the mitzvah formulated as a mitzvah of Ava and Yira, two different mitzvahs put together. And then he tells you, Ketzad hi avaso v'yiraso. And what he describes is a process that begins with Yira, but the contemplation and the experience of Yira is the catalyst for experiencing Ava. And then there's like back and forth, and that deepens the Yira, which deepens the Ava, which deepens the Yira, which deepens the Ava, etc. So in a real sense, Yimei Rosh Aseres Yimei Tshuva, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, culminating with Yom Kippur, and especially Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur themselves, as days of Yira Vafachad, are also really more intense days of Avas Hashem, and which of course is the culmination of Tshuva. And that really is the yisod of, you know, Gedola Tshuva, you know, Shadocha Losase Sheva Torah. This is an Ava which is the most intense, as the Rambam describes it in Perek Yud Hilchos Tshuva, but for that same reason, one, you know, which endures even all of the nisyonos along the way. So for that reason, this idea that there is no Iser Machzir Grushaso, for that reason, Klal Yisrael can be confident on Yom Kippur, and they can, as much as, you know, they have to engage in the serious work and you know, and give attention to the year of Afachad, they can do that with a sense of dignity and a sense of confidence, and that's really how we approach the Yom Adin, the Yom HaZikaron. So I want to show everybody a Ksiva Ksima Tova, Nashnas Chaim V'Shalom, and when we return, what day do we return? On the Wednesday? So Wednesday, Tzom Gedalia, I want to do already What?
Right.
Yeah, I'll come Wednesday. It's Somidali, right? Yeah. So let's try to do, there might be one or two things to say more about Bas. Mostly I think we're finished. So let's try to do the Mishnah and a little bit on Chutz, those Marmakomos, and, you know, together with Get Mi'aba, and then we'll start with Mipi and Vlom Piksav, and the actual Shakamatarios of the first...
What? I'm gonna.